Welcome back to Reflections. I'm host Jorge Gonzalez, and my guest today is Gredel Berríos and Rocío Delgado. As I said, they're here. They're co-founders of an organization working in the artistic world and in a particular project, which is in the athletic world. But they tell me that they're not competitive in teams and all. They're more in
the
artistic world.
Yeah.
But you have to go in terms a little bit of the Olympics, not from the athletic point of view so much, but what sports involves in terms of well-being and resiliency and all. And what I wanted to sort of reflect on is, two things. One is the group that have succeeded and that have not succeeded and how they've been dealing with it. And then the country that is Norway, that is a marvel, because Norway is the, in terms of population, has a population of Minnesota, and has three times the medals that the United States has, and how they move do things in order to have success in these particular events and the Winter Olympics. Going back to the athletes, there were two that that really stand out. Mikaela Schifrin started out with some real bad moments. She won out of the eight in slalom events during 2025. She won seven out of eight world. This is, and the one that she did not win, she was second. And then the first two events in the Olympics were disastrous. And then she's had problems in the past. She's had success. She'll be one of the youngest to win a gold and one of the oldest to win a gold. And she's had some really, difficult moments. Wednesday was the slalom, which is her best event, and she got a gold.
Nice.
So,
that's good.
And it was the driving out the demons, the other fantastic in terms of the glory of the victory is Brignonia, an Italian, and she 4 months ago had an incredible bad accident and was in rehabilitation, and only few weeks before the Olympics, it wasn't clear whether she would be able to participate, forget about, winning. Uh-huh. Well, she won her two events in just fantastic performance. And what's awfully beautiful in the Olympics, but the ones who came in second and third, when she won her second medal, they knelt down and bowed down in front of her, in respect for what she had achieved with this injury, the rehabilitation, and coming back. Of course, the Olympics are in Italy, so it's even more, meaningful she achieved. And then in terms of the agony of defeat, which is what they always say, there's this person, McGrath, and he had the best time, and when and there was always a human interest behind most of these athletes, and in this case, his grandfather, which was his love, his mentor, his father figure, and died just I think a day before the Olympics started. So he had this, the goal of for his grandfather, and he had a heavy heart as he was doing. Mm-hmm. And there's two runs. You have to do the two runs, and so it's a giant. This was the giant slalom. Schifrin was the regular slalom, which is shorter and quicker, and the other one is really fast. And he won, and he just had to do a good job coming back the second time. And he caught his ski on the wrong side of the slalom pole,
yes.
out of the running. I'd never seen this in the Olympics. He threw his two poles way over they're fencing to help you in case you lose your control. He threw them over the thing as far as he could go. He took his skis off, And he got underneath the fencing, and walked out into the woods. And when he got, of course, the woods had another fence, so he couldn't go beyond into the woods itself. But when he got there, he threw himself on the snow, mm-hmm. And just, you know, meditated and all. It was a scene of just so much hurt, you know.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so that was one, McGrath, and the other one, Leah Melanin. No one has had as much pressure being from the United States, a figure skater. And he's achieved in figure skating things that have never been done. They call him the Quad God. And he had the T-shirt, the Quad God. And in the critical event, he had the most disastrous mm-hmm. performance that you could ever imagine. He fell twice.
Yeah, I saw that.
He missed the different things. And you know, you just... the empathy with a person like that. On the other, you know, on the one hand, have a T-shirt that says the Quad God.
right.
You feel like he needs a little humility, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't wish something like this on anybody. So
no.
So the Olympics, you know, they say, you know, the joy of the victory, especially when you have these. Downfalls to be able to achieve the victory, and then you have this defeat is in the human interest stories behind them, and then of course Norway before they were gonna in Lillehammer, I think it was 1996, and they had disastrous performances. They've always been very good in the Winter Olympics, but the couple Olympics before and then the one just before they had zero, and they got together as a nation.
Yeah.
And they pulled together everything, and they've been just from Lillehammer on just hammering the world with their medal performance, and they do it as a nation. They're saying for this Olympics a year ago, they got everybody. These events are in about six different locations throughout Italy, from Milan to Cortina, and something, and sometimes the team are just divided up among all these different locations where they compete. Well, a year ago they got together, and I think it was the Canary Islands. Very, very different for Norway. Mm-hmm. They brought everybody together, and they spent a week and just imagine, you know, meditating and thinking and mm-hmm. what this, and they're doing a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. To put together, you know, real goals like this, and to work it out, they apparently from what people try to, they go there and find how have they been able to achieve this, and they do it with a great deal of, they put money behind it, they put effort, time,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The whole nation's behind, but they also make sure that the kids and everything are having fun going for it. So it apparently is a very good. I've always been very impressed with Norway. They're really very disciplined people and very punctual, very, very responsible.
Good.
I think a little bit on the, you know, it's very different from us Latin.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so that's the reflection on the Olympics. Last week, I gave a podcast. My favorite podcast is The Happiness Lab by Professor Laura Santos.
Okay.
She's a professor at Yale, teaches the psychology of the good life, and the title of the podcast was Resume versus Eulogy Values, and I went to a funeral of a good friend, Felix Santoni. He's a major general, retired, and it was in Fort Buchanan, and with many other reasons why it was a beautiful ceremony. You could say that he was instrumental in terms of saving Fort Buchanan. To have it, you know, as Ramey closed down, Roosevelt Rose mm-hmm, closed mm-hmm. down, and they started looking at that Fort Buchanan, and he was really, and he had a lot of good relationships within the Army. And then the place where they had the the funeral and the mass was named after him, the particular mm-hmm. building. But it was also as the, there were about seven speakers, and it went from the military talking about his prowess and what he had achieved as a military person, then moving on to his friends that kind of in between, they had military and friendship values that were, you know, discussing. And then it went to the family, you know, his son and his two sons, because he remarried, his first wife died. And it was a really good example of the resume versus the eulogy values.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a particular person that was kind of in between, Roberto Gorbea. And I, you know, congratulated him on his talk. And I said, did you realize that you were the transition between the resume value and the eulogy? I talked about it. He says, that's a little bit too. I'm not quite following you. I said, well, no, I know it's not the moment, but you gave a great talk, and it was a really good transition to. So that was, reflecting on that. And I think I'm going to move on. I had a couple of other topics, but I want to move on. I want to make sure that we leave enough time. We have about 7 minutes. But I think, Rocio, tell us a little bit about your past and what you're, you know, now here in Puerto Rico for mm-hmm. this week promoting. So you have the mic is yours.
Thank you for having us, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today. And I love your program, what you are sharing with people, what you are bringing to the communities. It's amazing. I think we need more of this. But my name is Rocio Delgado. I'm originally from Ciales. I came from a family of five brothers, and I'm the younger one. Grew up, my father is in engineering, and I think I created a passion for art and design early on. My grandma was a fashion design, beautiful dresses that she created at that time. And life bring me to California. I have a brother there. Another engineering.
Well, your job. You studied in Puerto Rico.
I studied in Puerto Rico. I have some years of architecture, and then I moved to fashion design. I graduated from fashion design.
You studied fashion design.
That happened in Puerto Rico.
Oh, that in Puerto Rico. Both architect and fashion design.
And then I went to California. I did a bachelor in health administration. And a master in public health. I changed a little bit of career there. But my passion really was art.
Always.
And
from what age is it?
I always, my
two,
mom say that, don't let Rocio get a crayon, because the painting would be, the walls will be having art. And she was so afraid, like, oh no, she find one.
Okay.
But that's, I always start painting, you know, mm-hmm. drawing.
Did you jump into public health all of a sudden?
I think it was life, just to make a living. Opportunities that start happening in the healthcare.
The artists always have this.
It's not that easy to create it,
beautiful, and this and that, and yet you have to make a living, and then you get a little bit. Your art should be commercial, mm-hmm. versus what you really. It's a struggle.
That's what kind of happened. Sometimes life brings you some challenge, and you navigate. And I was enjoying to also serve in that aspect in healthcare.
Okay.
Always I keep painting. That never stopped. Right. No matter what I was doing, I always was painting. When I go to California, that diaspora, that time to be far from home, was hard. I don't think nobody can leave Puerto Rico.
That was about 20 years ago.
Yeah, around 20 years ago. It's a long time when I think about it. But I always stay connected with Puerto Rico. My family's here. I feel lucky that I could make it, like every year I come visit. I start painting, I think, a way for me to kind of heal that sadness of not being close to my family home, translating my paintings in a good way, because I love Puerto Rico. So painting a beautiful scenery of Puerto Rico healed my soul at that moment. And I was showing everybody there how beautiful is Puerto Rico. They love it. So they start coming to my house, and they was like, I want this painting. Like, you know, they started loving it. I was never think that I was going to go expose my art, really. I started mm-hmm. doing it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then with time, people started requesting paintings. People from Puerto Rico that live in California started like, I want you to create La Rogativa for me. One of my clients, a good friend of mine at that time, was like, I want you to paint La Rogativa for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started like making big paintings. My medium is oil. I love oil paintings.
Right.
So with time, the transition was from that very connected scenery from Puerto Rico, it started to translate it with a little bit more like a, I call it the flow mm-hmm. collection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit of still of my Puerto Rican soul, you know,
way. I love that word flow because we're talking about Lily Garcia. Her new book is called Sigo Fluyendo.
Mm-hmm.
We started to talk, and then there was a couple of podcasts on flow, and all of a sudden that word flow is
resonating everywhere.
Being in this experience in life, I think show me that you need to go with the flow in many ways, right?
Right.
Like with my work, like maybe I accommodate, like, okay, maybe this is the moment to do a little bit something different to come survive, to make money, and I'm still doing what I want. Everything have their time. And life I've put in my path. Good people like Grede that believe in what I'm doing. She love it. Like, I have another good friend, Monica Torres, la licenciada Monica Torres, that have support me and un Rocío, Grede and me mm-hmm. with this new project that we have to bring now my art to in a more commercial way mm-hmm. without losing the essence. It's mm-hmm. more like bringing my art to everybody, like sharing what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the project of the Padres come along. It's my art is still representing Puerto Rico in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
And now with Gretel, that we will be introduced more about what she's doing and how we collaborate. But some of my collections really still so connected with Puerto Rico. When you see I have a collection of hearts
mm-hmm.
that is like that resilient, the heart that we have as a Puerto Rican, as Puerto Rican women,
mm-hmm.
That no matter what happened, we reinvent ourselves. We keep growing. Our heart don't shrink. It's the opposite. Our heart just explode of like keep growing. We mm-hmm. have more space. We make it happen.
Right.
And
right.
and my collection come from that.
Well, listen, the person you're listening to is Rocío Delgado, a Puerto Rican Californian artist, and we have a project that she has a project that we want to see if people from Puerto Rico get involved with the San Diego Padres. We've run out of time. We're running out of time in the second segment, and we'll go a little bit more then into the project when we come back after the pause. My two guests, you know, as I said, Rocío, you've been listening to, and you've been listening off and on, you know, from Gridel Berrios, my two guests today. And this is Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections. We'll be right back after the pause.